What a wonderful song, and I hope to be found with those saints of old serving the Lord all the days of my life. And if you see that that's not what I'm doing, you please come and talk to me. I'm going to write something here on the board before I start. First one is a question for some of us. And the last one can be a question, maybe for all of us, a question to answer. Is God good? And the answer is yes, God is good. But there might be some out there thinking, is God good? God is good. Why is God good? That's a question for you and me to answer. Why do we think God is good? Well, maybe by the time I'm done up here, maybe you know why God is good if you don't already know. But that's a good question. Why is God good? Why do you call God good? Why do I call God good? The first question there is for some, maybe. The second question, well, we already know that God is good. And maybe all of you know that God is good. But what's the reason that he is good? We all don't have a problem saying that God is good, right? But what has he done for us? Or how do we know that God is good? Before we start talking about this, I think one of the first things that we have to come to realize is that how imperfect I am, how sinful I am, and God is perfect and holy. And we know that God is perfect and holy. While we are sinful and imperfect, if we think we are good or we think we are good and holy and righteous, then we are wrong, because that's not what we are. God is good. Let's pray before we start into this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you again this morning. We just want to thank you for who you are and what you've done for us, knowing that you are perfect. You can do everything. Everything is in your power, Father. And we just thank you for that. Just help us, Father, to realize who we are, sinful people that come to you, and we need your help to guide us and direct us through this world, Father. So just pray you'll be with us as we share, and just guide me and direct me that I would only speak what you would have me to speak, Father. Preach your word. Just commit this time and ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you want to, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, you can put that question down: why is God good? And every time you think of something, you can write it down. If you want to do that, you can. Because there's more than one reason, I guess, why God is good, or why we think God is good. We might have our own way of thinking, or our own things to think why God is good. But as we go through some of these scriptures, we just realize that that is actually, you know, God's nature is just simply, he's perfect. He is light. There's no darkness in him. There is only one who is fully and truly good. That is God. This good God invites us to seek Him and to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. James 1, verse 17. Says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God will not change. God will always do what He says He will. He will not turn away from good. He's always going to do what He says He does. And Jeremy there had the story of Balak and Balaam, and I had that written down. There's a couple verses there that I'm going to page to and bring out. It's in Numbers 23. I'm not going to explain or read much of it because of Jeremy already brought some out of those two men there. Numbers 23, verse 19 and 20. Well, we know, you know how the story went there. It was just told us here a little bit ago. And I've often wondered, you know, why Balaam did all the things that he did. But in the end there, I'll just read verses 19 and 20. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I receive commandment to bless, and he blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So God does what he says he will, and whatever he has spoken is spoken already, and he cannot reverse things. God cannot. Is not going to say something today and then change it tomorrow. He will not reverse it in that way. But the story there about Balaam, there is, he begged of God, I think, you know, to go there, and finally he let him go. But then I'm always, you know, not sure why he kept begging to go. But then at the end there, he did bless the children of Israel. He did not curse them the way Balak wanted him to. He said he could not because God, they're a blessed people. God did not curse him, and he cannot curse him either. So that's the story of Balak and Balaam. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So God there knows the future. He knows our future for us, and His plans for us are good and full of hope. This does not mean that we will be spared from pain, suffering, or hardship, but that God will see us through. He will watch over us. He has the best in mind for us. No matter what we go through in this world, He wants us to come out on top, or He wants us to come out for the best, for His kingdom. even though we have to go through hardship, we have to go through some tough things, through suffering, but God has our good, has good in mind for us. That is why God is a good God. He wants the best for us. He wants us to see that. He wants us to follow His direction. When He tells us to do something, that we do it, and just do it because it brings out, it brings out us out in God's kingdom when we do that. John 3:16. I think that's a verse that is familiar with all of us. And again, it's something, that God wants us to know. He wants has the best in mind for us there. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever believeth in Him. Believing is more than just agreeing that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and confidence in Him, not in ourselves or anybody else, but Jesus alone. It is to put Him in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son so that we could have everlasting life. God is good, not just because He is a good God, but because what He had in mind for us, what He has in mind for us if we follow Him. Believing God. Believing is both trusting His word and relying on Him for the power to change us where we need to change. In Mark 10, verse 17. Now this account here is, I think, in all the Gospels, at least in Matthew, or at least in Mark, Luke, and Matthew. It's in these three Gospels, the account of the rich young ruler, I think it is. Verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asking him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" And so there was one guy came running to him, kneeling down and calling him good master, and wondering what he needs to do so he can have eternal life. And Jesus' response was this: "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So this kind of took a new meaning to me yesterday when I was thinking about it. When Jesus asked this guy that came, he called him a good master. And then here he asked him, "Why callest thou me good?" Why do we call God good? Is it just because we know He is good? Or I think what Jesus was wanting to know here about this person. He's like, yeah, you call me good, but why am I good, you know? Why do you call me good? What's the question? But I don't think the person, I don't think he ever answered. He really didn't have an answer for that, I don't think. But then it went on, and you know how the story is there, that he talked about the commandments, and this guy, he had kept all the commandments there, but there was still one thing that he lacked. Why callest thou me good? We can ask ourselves that question. Why is God good? Or why callest thou me good? Is it because of all the good things that Jesus has done for us? All the good things that that he has done for us? Or is it for a different reason? Psalm 34. I'm going to read from verse 1 through 9. Psalm 34, 1 through 9. There's a lot of good verses here in the Psalms about a good God or a good God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cries, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear. So as we read down through there, we can find different reasons, you know, we can find different reasons that the Lord is good. You know, says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So we can look at those and say, oh, because God did that, he is good. He is good to us. He is good. But that's actually, you know, that's just his nature. That's what he is. And if we are seeking for help, if we are seeking to find God, then we will find him. He does that to everybody, not just to me or not just to you, but everybody that is looking for help, is seeking, he will do that for them. Deliver them from all their fears. And he says in verse 6 there, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And he will help us out of our troubles. Is that, do we say because that happens, do we say that the Lord is good? He is good whether he does that, whether that happens for us or not. He is good all the time. God is good. And yes, we do need to thank God for those things that he does for us. But he's actually not doing it. He's actually not doing it just to favor us. He's doing it because that's what he does. He's good all the time. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So we need to put our trust in the Lord. There's a verse in 1 Peter. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Just going to wrap one verse there. 1 Peter 2, verse 3. Actually, I'm just going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 there. It says, "Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy and envy, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Have ye tasted the Lord already? Do you know that the Lord is good? Again, the Lord is good, but it's not just because he has done that for me or for you. That's things that he does all the time if we are open and willing to follow his direction. Then he will do that. And we need to thank him for what he does for us. When we were born again, we became spiritual babies. If we are healthy, we will yearn to grow. If we have any desire at all, we will have a desire, a yearn to grow in for God. The need for milk is a natural instinct for a baby, and a sign of growth. Once we see our need for God's word and begin to find nourishment in Christ, our spiritual appetite will increase and we will start to mature. How strong is your desire for God's word? Do you have a desire to follow God? God is right there waiting for you and me to come to him. If we see our need for him and come to him, and he will help us, and then we can say God is good. We should be able to say God is good even before that. But then we can truly see, once we see ourselves, who we are and who God is, we should be able to truly say that God is good. No matter the circumstances that we're in. Psalms 107. I'm going to page back and forth through quite a bit. You don't have to turn to every one of them if you don't want to. But Psalms 107, verse 1 through 8. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary ways. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There again, we can see the goodness of the Lord. We can see what he does for us. If you're hungry and thirsty, if you're hungry and thirsty after God, He will help you in any way that you desire to be helped. If it is for a spiritual reason, God will help you through in life. And as He does that, we can look back and see the goodness of the Lord. We should be able to say all the time that God is good. Or say that God is good all the time. Why is God good? Again, the question, why is God good? Well, we have went across a few reasons, you know, why God is good. He does all these things for us, and we can see that God is good. But we can not only see that God is good, but we can also experience things, you know. We can say that God was, you know, God is good. He, you know, how he helped us through all our difficulties and all that. Yet we should know that God is good all the time. It don't matter what we're going through. Here are some reasons that I think, you know, that God is good, because what that brings out that I think is God is good. John 1 verse 5, it says, 1 John 1 5 says, God is light, in him is no darkness. So that means that God is good. In him is no darkness at all, it says. In 1 John 3 verse 5 it says, in him is no sin. There's no sin in God. The goodness of God. There's God is good. God is love. And we know that, you know, love, that is shown all through the Bible, you know, that God is love. We can see that all through the Bible, that God is love. God is the truth. There's no darkness at all in God. It's, God is love. God is the truth. And God is also a spirit. It says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is not limited to one place, to one person, in one area. That, to me, how God works is just amazing, you know. I can be praying somewhere, and Brother John can be praying somewhere else at the same time, and God can hear both of us, not just one, but both of us. He can hear us all, not just two, but he can hear us all. He's not limited in that way. He's present everywhere, and he can be worshipped anywhere, anytime. It's not just because we are worshipping God here. He's not just hearing our worship, but he's hearing worship all over the world. And I'm glad that he's not limited in that way. How would that be if we would be worshiping here and he would have to wait for the next group till the next hour or whatever? That would be difficult sometimes to make everything work out, but that's not God. God is not limited. God is all merciful, all powerful. God is anywhere, anytime. I said he's anywhere. He's not in darkness or things like that, but he can be all over at the same time. God is holy and righteous. God is perfect. God is the way, the truth, and the life. So why would God not be good? You know, if he's all these things, why could we not say that God is good? I think we can. God is moral perfection. God is holy, meaning there is no darkness, malice, or evil in his nature, because he is perfect. He cannot do or promote what is wrong. He cannot do wrong. God is always perfect, always right. God is his source of all blessings. God is the author of creation. He gives life and continually provides for humanity. God is unfailing love. God is just and good, because he has a redemptive plan to bring order, healing, and justice to a broken world. God is a good God. Perfect, holy, upright, And none of us can say that about ourselves. We know how fallen man, how sinful and mistakes, how many mistakes and things that we make. But God is so merciful to us that He forgives us. If we come to Him and ask Him to forgive us and turn from our wicked ways, He will forgive us. Psalms 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation." And God is not just good at this time in this year or in my lifetime, in our lifetime. He is good always, and He always will be good. It says, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. It is to everyone, through all generations. It's not just in our time here, but it's going to last throughout eternity. And it was from the beginning of the world, when the beginning, you know, God was good and is good. Psalms 25. Verse 8 through 12. Says, God is upright. God, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimony. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. Through God's mercy, there He will guide us and teach us if we allow Him. If we can see our need, the need in us, see what we are, what we're made of, we're our sinful nature. If we can see that we have a need of God, and we will, I believe, allow Him to move us and to help us. It says, "What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose." We will allow God to choose our way, to guide us and direct us if we fear Him. To fear the Lord is to recognize Him for who He is: holy, almighty, righteous, pure, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-wise. We can see God in this light. We also see ourselves for who we are: sinful, weak, frail, and needy. When we recognize God for who He is and ourselves for who we are, we will fall at His feet. Only there can He teach us how to choose the best, His way. There was a song that we sang this morning. I don't have a songbook up here. It was song number 23, I think. See if I can find one there. Talked about that. "This great God, indulge my humble claim. Thou art my hope, my joy. That is God, is my hope, my joy, my rest. The glories that compose thy name stand all engaged to make me blessed." Then the verse 2 there. "Thou great and good, thou just and wise, thou art my Father and my God. and I am thine by sacred ties, thy son, thy servant, bought with blood. A great God we have, just and wise. There's no fault in him. There's no sin in him. He's a holy and a righteous God. Psalms 145. He's going to read the whole, maybe the whole chapter there. It says, I will exalt thee, O God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. As long as we live, we should be blessing God's name. We should be blessing the Lord for all that he has done and is doing for us. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. If you just stop and think about that, his greatness is unsearchable. We can think a lot sometimes. We can come up with a lot sometimes. But God's greatness and his goodness is way beyond, is way more than what we can ever think or come up with. One generation shall praise thy works another to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That's what we should be doing now is praising God for his goodness and his mercy and proclaiming it to the next generation, declaring the mighty acts, what God has done for us and what he is and what he does. Verse 5, I will speak of the glory of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And man shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great and goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great of mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercy are over all his works. All the works shall praise thee, O Lord, and the saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generation. There we can see that the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, it lasts forever and ever, and it's throughout all generation. Verse 14, it's the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all that those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all the flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. In verse 19 there, it talks about, you know, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. So, if we are seeking God, if we are truly a child of God, what are our desires? It says here that God will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. I believe those desires are to follow the Lord and do, you know, do whatever God wants us to do to follow Him. And I don't think our desires will be out in the world if that's what we're trying to do, is to follow the Lord. Our desire should be to do what God is doing. Be an example to others. Obeying His call. Because we know who we are. We know we need God to help us. Without God, we're sinful. We are just human. And with God, God can help us through our life, and we can have that desire to be like God, even though we are not God, but we can have a desire to be like Him. And I think that is that desire that God will give us, grant us, if we have a desire to follow Him and do what is right. And another chapter that I thought about reading is Genesis 1. That would be a good chapter to read sometime. I don't know that I'm going to take the time to just read it all, but I might get a couple of verses, a verse or two out of that chapter. You know, when God made the heaven and the earth and all the things that is in them, different times throughout the chapter, he says, and God saw that it was good. You know, what he just had done, what he made, and God saw that it was good. So what God did and what God does is good. And I might just read the last verse there in chapter 1. It says, you know, when God had created the whole earth and universe, and He had divided the waters from the dry land, and gave, you know, the names, the animals, and He made the fish and all that is in the earth there. And then verse 31 says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So He had created all these things in 6 days, and He said it was very good. It's God's goodness. God's goodness throughout the whole chapter. He created the earth and the things in it. How wonderful and how good is God's goodness to us. I was just early this morning, I was just sitting there looking at the trees, the grass, and the clouds, and all, you know, I could see, and just thinking, what a great God, what a good God we have. He has created all these things for us, for mankind, and put man in charge of the animals, the fish, and these things. What a good God we serve. What a good God we have. God's goodness should lead us to be thankful. Should remind us to be thankful to God. Do our part and be thankful to God for what He had done for us. When situations are perfect, everything goes right, and blessings are flowing, then God is good. When everything goes well for us, it's easy for us to say God is good. However, when tragedy strikes or life gets difficult, somehow we don't see or remember God's goodness. We must be careful not to make the mistake of tying God's goodness only to life's everyday circumstances. God is good all the time. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances are, God is good. There was last week. My wife went on a trip to Ohio, and we stopped in at we went to Ohio and Michigan, and we stopped to see there in Ohio. We stopped to see my sister, my wife's brother. They're married, and they're just several years older than we are. And I haven't seen him in years, quite a few years anyway. I'm not sure when the last is I seen him, but he was always a kind of a skinny guy. And but we knew he had cancer, and we knew he wasn't doing the best, but I didn't have an idea how bad a shape he was. And we walked in the house there, and so my sister came to the door there and took us in the house. But he was not in the house. She said he's out in the garage there. So the garage was connected to the house. I just walked out in the garage and looked over there where he was sitting, and I couldn't hardly believe my eyes what I seen. Just those eyes staring at me, and he couldn't hardly talk. I didn't have no idea he was in that bad a shape. But even through all that, God is good. It's not. We left that place that afternoon. I wasn't feeling very good about the way things looked there, and I don't think that he is right with the Lord. I guess that's between him and the Lord, but I didn't have a feeling that way. But we left knowing, some of the conversations we had with him years ago and things. I wasn't sure what all I could share or should share. But when we left, I just told him, well, we'll be praying for him, and I forget what all I told him, but I just told him, look to the Lord, and we'll be praying for him. So then we went on from there on up to Michigan and seen God's goodness up there in Michigan. Through the church, we were there at the church, a small church there, and some of those people there, quite a few families there when we left the Amish, were just young teenagers. And that's where the same church where we got converted. I got born again there, and we left. They didn't really know much why we left or what was going on that we left. And so it's just a blessing to go back and have some connection there. They got converted, and they left the Amish. That's, some of that might not be all that great, just to say you are a child of God now because you leave the Amish. But in some cases, when you get converted, then you will leave the Amish, whether you want to or not. That's in some cases, that is. But it was just a blessing to see how God works in some of those younger generation coming up. And we had a good time connecting there with them. They are truly believers, I think, and they're trying to follow the Lord just like we are here. And that was just thinking back of the goodness of God, how he draws people to himself, and people find like that find the Lord, And it's just a joy and a blessing to see when that happens. And I know when we left the Amish there, we left, and I just got the feeling, thinking sometimes I probably won't never see any of my family or my kin folks, you know, coming to the Lord. But I actually I saw two of my nieces up there, actually three of them up there, and they would say they're born again and walking with the Lord. And just the joy now, looking back, thinking what all we went through, and they're following in the same footsteps as the Lord leads them. So, yeah, well, Lord bless you, and hope you got something out of the message. God bless you.